Unity isn't easy. Most of us have never learned how to disagree in love or how to love those with whom we disagree. We're like the poet who wrote, "To dwell above with saints we love, well, that is grace and glory. To live below with the saints we know, well, that's another story." Jesus knew that to dwell with the saints that we know, well, that is another story. That's why his last prayer, the prayer that he prays on the night of his arrest that will lead to his crucifixion, is so important for us. And over these last 3 days, we've been listening in on our Lord's high priestly prayer. It's called his high priestly prayer because, of course, this is the prayer that Jesus prays just before he will go to the altar of the cross and sacrifice his body for the remission of our sins. Throughout this chapter, John 17, as I've been studying it and meditating upon it, it strikes me that there are two words that hold the chapter together. They are the words sent, which of course is a verb, and the adjective one. To be sent is to be one. And what I'd like to do now is I'd like to quote the verses earlier on in John 17 where Jesus prays and uses the verb sent. Here's the first one. "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." In this verse, eternal life is equated with knowing Jesus and to know that he has been sent from the Father. A little later on in chapter 17, verse 7, is this verse. "For the words that you gave me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they believed that you have sent me." Now, in this verse, Jesus is equating knowing him with knowing his words, that is, knowing his teaching, and he intensifies the relation to being sent, "that they may know in truth that I came from you," or "that you sent me." With these verses, Jesus is emphasizing his apostolic ministry, that he has been sent. Now, the word in Greek for send is the word apostolos, from which we get the English word apostle. Jesus is therefore the first apostle. He was sent from heaven to earth that we would know the Trinitarian God and by that be graced with eternal life. Now, listen to the next usage of the word sent in John 17. "You have sent me into the world," listen to this, "so I have sent them into the world." Father, you sent me, in turn, I'm sending them. And here's the thing that we celebrate. Jesus was sent into the world to a very limited geographical place, the Holy Land. During the course of his earthly life, Jesus didn't travel the distance of about more than 120 kilometers. But he was sent to the Holy Land so that from the Holy Land, Jesus would in turn send apostles out from Jerusalem into Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And indeed, in the reading that we had from Acts, St. Paul is told, "As you have witnessed to me here in Jerusalem, I'm going to send you now to the heart of the empire in Rome, and you will witness to me there." And of course, from there, what has happened? Jesus has sent apostles out across the world so that we have a successor of the apostle right here in Calgary. His name is Bishop McGrattan. And this is the wonderful thing about our faith. It's about being sent. So there's this wonderful progression that we celebrate as Catholic Christians that connects us to Jesus and the original apostles. Now, having heard these verses, that use the verb to send, listen again to the verses from today's gospel where the verb sent is joined to the adjective one. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, listen to this, so that the world may know that you have sent me. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. Could I invite you today to spend half an hour reading through John 17 prayerfully, carefully, and meditating on how unity is dependent on the apostolic faith? But here's the thing. Unity is dependent upon us. Because you'll notice repeatedly Jesus says that they may be one. This suggests that we may not be one. And indeed, we can see how through the life of the church, it has often been the case that there has not been the kind of unity that the Lord wants. But we are always called to reassert the necessity of this. And this is how it happens. As you have a deeper conversion to Jesus Christ, as you allow Jesus more and more into your heart, to understand that he is the one in whom you have eternal life, do you know what happens? When you're converted to Jesus, you're converted to his church. And the more you know the love of Jesus in your heart, the more you're going to love his church on earth. And when that happens, communities of faith become vital outposts of heaven, where increasingly people experience at places like St. Peter's the kind of unity that is a foretaste of the unity of heaven. So as we prepare to return to Mass, it's going to ask a lot of you. It's going to ask of your patience. It's going to ask of you to say, I'm not going to go to Mass every time I can because I have to make room for other people as well. You're going to be asked to exercise a kind of unity that is going to call of you a certain selflessness. But the more we're able to grow in being like this, the more we will discover the reality of what it is to be in Christ. And we will be able to change the last part of the poet's poem. So we will say, to dwell above with the saints we love, that is grace and glory. To live below with the saints that we know is an anticipation of that greater glory.